glad to have Brother Doyle with us today. And I love Brother Doyle and excited about him coming. And I'm anxious to see what he'll do. He'll always do something that get you laughing. But I appreciate this man of God. Christian Redneck, I guess that's what I'll call him.
Yeah.
But I love him, all right? Come ahead, Brother Doyle. Appreciate you so much. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. I want to apologize for Brother Stacy making us late for lunch. So if we get late, it ain't my fault. Okay? We appreciate you being here this morning. We'll try to get right into it since my time has been cut awful short. I'm not calling any names, but I've been having some problems, had to go back out. You ladies know what I'm talking about when I had to go to the restroom and just got back there and thought I had to go. And been having these female problems. I used to never have problems. I was hearing about bladder problems, bladder infection. My wife started traveling with me, and Lord have mercy, we'd had pulled into a service station. She'd sit and sit and sit, finally get out, and we'd get ready to go. Get to the driveway, ready to get on the highway. She said, I think I may have to go again. Put it in reverse, back up. I've become very understanding in her predicament these days. The doctor says the only next step is a hysterectomy, and I said, I ain't having it. Forget it. I'll just die this way. You pray for us, amen. We need the Lord. We need His touch. We need God this morning. Are these things already on, Brother Mike? They're ready? Okay. Everybody's going like this. I hope they're still doing that when I get done. That'd be a blessing, amen. Here in... We'll turn to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 11, and then we'll read a verse of scripture. You can just hold your finger there in verse 16, 11, 16, the Ezekiel, that's about the middle of the Bible, kind of over to the, from the middle a little bit toward the end. But in the book of Exodus, chapter 25, I want to read a passage of scripture there. Exodus 25. This morning, I just kind of felt like this was what the Lord wanted, and we'll find out in a minute if it was. Some of y'all catch on to that. 25:8. In Exodus chapter 25:8. This morning, he said here in Exodus 25 and verse 8, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." That's in Exodus 25 and verse 8. "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." Now, it seems as though God has to have a place to stay if He's going to dwell amongst His people. So He asked the people, "Build me a sanctuary so I can dwell among you." Now God has always wanted to fellowship with man. And in man's perfect condition and saved condition, man has a desire to fellowship with God. We have a nature in us that does not want to. But we have a new nature in us that desires the presence of God, desires to fellowship with Him, desires to draw from His strength. And so He said, "Build me a sanctuary." And I liked what one writer said, that he gave the instructions of the sanctuary and to build the furniture. And he started in the Holy of Holies and moved out to the outer court, then on to the outermost court. You see, God had to approach, come toward man before man could ever come back to God. And I'm so thankful for that tonight. Amen. He's just a blessing to know the Lord and be in His presence. And Now, in Ezekiel chapter 11, they've gone to the tabernacle or the temple for many things. They've brought their sacrifices. David talked about it in the book of Psalms, how he got help in the tabernacle or in the sanctuary of God, and how that he found sanctuary in the house of God, and how that his strength was renewed in the house of God. And so constantly you're hearing about the sanctuary and the place where God is, because you can get help in the presence of God. God can do for you in 10 seconds what no man can do in 100 years for you. And so when he speaks to your heart, you're refreshed. And so I just say that this here in the book of Ezekiel, judgment is coming. And God's fixing to send them out to the four corners of the earth because they've disobeyed him. Judgment is coming. But I'm glad in this chapter we can see in wrath, he remembers mercy. I'm so thankful for that. Ain't a one of us could stand a chance today if God was just all judgment. Couldn't handle it. We couldn't do it. He remembers our frame that we are but dust. And so notice what he said here in verse 16. They're fixing to be dispersed. They're not going to have a temple. They're not going to have a tabernacle to go to. Verse 16, therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, I will be to them a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. I'm glad he's a personal God. Amen. I'm glad he knows and he looks beyond our faults and sees our need. And though they were in judgment and God was sending them to the four corners of the earth because of their disobedience to God, God said, wherever I send them, I'm going to give them a promise that I will be to them a little sanctuary. I tell you, if you don't know it tonight, you're going to run short on fleshly energy to serve God. You're going to run short on the fact that the flesh can only go so far in this thing called Christianity. And God spends a lifetime getting us to the end that we might fall into his perfect program. And that is to recognize that without him, we can do nothing. And so you've got to be convinced of that. It's easy preaching as a young preacher to say these things. It's easy as a young Christian to say, we've got to have the Lord. It's one thing to get up and testify and say, we've got to have him every day. And it's another way, and it's another thing to get up through the problems and trials of life and get up and say, we cannot do without him. We've got to have his presence amongst us. And so that little sanctuary that God has promised us, and I don't know about you, but I have found some real solace and refuge in the sanctuary with God. I believe God has set up a plan and an economy whereby this whole thing revolves around him. Everything that is to be done in this world is to be pointed back to him and for his glory and for his honor. So man, in all of his efforts to try to serve God, in all of his efforts, we as Christians are very honestly, because we never intended to do anything else, We say, well, you know, I can do it. I can do this. I can do this. Only to find ourselves falling on our face before we get done doing whatever we was going to do. So we have to come to the end of depending upon the old nature called the flesh. And so many times the flesh even has a Christian philosophy today. You hear it on television a lot of times, and different television preachers will tell you when you do everything just right that all your circumstances are going to be made better. They say it just is. It's going to be made better. That's what they say. Especially if you'll send them $100. Really helps. And if you want it faster, you send them $150. But that's a fleshly mentality that I would take, that God would remove all the problems so that I could have peace and get through this world. But the biblical mentality is that while I'm going through these problems, that I'm holding and looking to Him, and that He is strengthening me and developing a relationship with me while I'm going through this problem. Now, the world says all your problems are over. God said, no, they've just begun. Because I don't care how many times you ask God, sometimes a problem will come and we'll say, Lord, please take this away, and thank God, sometimes He'll remove it. Amen. Sometimes I could not have gone through what I had to go through. God simply had mercy on me, and He delivered me from the storm that I was fixing to go through. He saved me from it. He took it away from me, and I praise God for that. But sometimes He says, no, I'll just go with you through the storm. That's why the Apostle Paul had discovered this great secret when he had prayed 3 times for the Lord to take the thorn away. And God said, no, Paul, you've seen too much and heard too much. Unless your flesh, in your old flesh, you should be lifted up above measure. I've sent a messenger of Satan to buffet you, to humble you, to hold you down, to keep you in earth atmosphere with the rest of us, so you will not be up there with a bunch of spiritual space cadets walking on clouds, looking down on everybody else. And you'll not point your finger in their face and say, I got the answer. No, you'll be scratching your head most of the time, trying to figure out what in the world is going on. And so God has set up such a system whereby the flesh is to be put down, the Spirit of God is to rise up in us, and He is to take control of our soul, our mind, our emotions, and our will. And He, through that avenue, is to find a human vehicle for divine life to be displayed. Amen. And so many times we're going to copy, we're going to act like Jesus. But actors get tired. Amen? Some of you know what I'm talking about this morning. Some of you are about to go to sleep right now. You've endured as much as you can stand. I was on the phone a while ago and said, oh, you preach. I see how I preach this morning. I said, just a few more minutes. I got to go in there and persecute the saints. And so this flesh gets tired. So we copy. We, in our best zeal and our best effort, we mean well, but full on, the trials and the problems and the confusion puts us down so bad that we are ready to quit. We wished we had chosen a different occupation. Amen? Surely, all these heartaches and these problems ought to pay more. And we get to reasoning and say, well, I could get more money for all these problems out in the world. Amen? But the flesh gets tired. So God has designed it in such a way that the old man, with its power over our mind, our emotions, and our will, has to eventually burn completely out. So that I will not just say I'm trusting Him, but I will get up every morning and lean on Him as a way of life. Not just a cliche, but as a way of life.
That's right, Martin. That's right.
God is creating in us through the turmoil and through the problems dependent spirits.
Yeah, Martin.
They told me that this was an independent Methodist church. I said, that's their problem right there. We need some dependent Methodists. We need some dependent Baptists. We need some folks who know that without God they can't do it. And they'll seek His face until He comes to their rescue. And He can get the glory and we'll get through this thing.
Amen.
And so God is constantly... You see, that's why all things work together for good. Oh, you mean all my mistakes? I think he said all. That probably means everyone. You mean even when I make a mistake, God's going to use... Yeah, I think that's what that means. Because if nothing else, you're going to learn what not to do the next time. And so God just constantly works against this old man, because he's got a new nature inside of you that came to this camp meeting to feel the presence of God. You got a new nature inside of you that longs to be holy like God. You got a new nature inside of you that wants to give all the glory to God. Forms a holy jealousy in you. And when you see someone trying to rob God of His glory, anger wells up in you. Don't take the glory away from my Savior. David, I think, had that holy jealousy. He said, the Israelite army looked up and said, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? When they referred to Goliath, they always said, he's come to fight against the armies of Israel. But when David talked about him, he said, he's come to defy the armies of the living God.
Amen.
And they picked at him. They tried to belittle him. And he said, is there not a cause?
Right.
Holy jealousy rolls up in his heart. Now, where does that jealousy come from? Because David had been out at night underneath the stars singing the songs and writing the songs of Zion. And he had a personal relationship with God. And the only thing that produces a real holy jealousy against sin is your relationship with God.
Amen.
You fall in love with Him.
Yes.
And you're jealous for Him.
Amen.
Yes. So God said, the world and the flesh and the devil are going to be constantly pulling on you and trying to pull you back. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick up your cross. I want you to understand one thing, that in Christ your old man died. Now, I've had people, Brother Brian, say, now, okay, he said the old man is dead. Now I'm just going to live in total victory. Let me ask you something. How long was it before, well, from the time you were born till you got born again? You see, your sins had been paid for 2,000 years ago.
That's right.
But it did not apply to you until you put faith in the facts.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that He gave. That means me. That means I was a sinner lost and without God. But I put my faith in the facts that He had already died for my sins, and the Holy Ghost brought the feeling of peace to my heart. Now the Bible says, as ye have received Him, so walk ye in Him. So what are we going to do? We're going to put faith in the facts. The facts said I was saved, or Christ died for my sin. He brought it to reality in my life. But the facts also say that my old man died in Christ.
Amen.
Paul said, I am crucified with Christ.
Uh-huh.
So how are we going to get victory over that? We're going to keep running in the flesh, trying to battle the flesh with the flesh. And we're going to wind up very, very frustrated. And we're going to give up and get discouraged. And the devil's going to try his best to keep us out of church and away from God's people so we can go down and down and down. And he can destroy our lives. But if I understand the scriptures, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. That is not applicable to my life until I begin to put faith in the facts.
That's right.
You said, preacher, the way I feel this morning, the way you feel, ain't got nothing to do with it.
There you go. There you go.
I'm talking about the facts.
That's right. Amen.
But my emotions are so this and that. Well, forget about it. Hey, it's not important. What is important today is putting faith in the facts and beginning to believe that you are dead. And when that sister or that brother comes up in front of you and they antagonize you and try to get the old man to resurrect, pretty easy to do, amen? Because everybody in here got some buttons. And most people know what those buttons are in your life. Not, nothing hardly bothers me. I used to drive an 18-wheeler and I'd go through about 13 or 15 gears, get up to highway speed, and a little Datsun pickup pull out in front of me with an old man riding. And here I had to go down and down. All of a sudden, the old man tried to resurrect. My first thought was, I'll just hit his bumper just a little bit, run him up to about 110. Amen? Back off and say, what do you think about that? But to add insult to injury, he doesn't go 100 yards down the road and he puts his blinker on. No, I can't believe it. Nobody for miles behind you. He could have just waited. But he probably didn't see that big 18-wheeler. And so, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with this thing? I'm going to die. Every time that flesh tries to come up, I'm going to put faith in the facts.
There it is.
And I'm going to count it done.
Amen.
And I'm going to quit listening to what that flesh is trying to tell me.
That's right.
And so, I have to understand. Paul said, I die how often?
Daily.
Yeah. Paul had that problem. Paul had the problem. One day they drug him outside the city of Lystra, stoned him and left him for dead. And I bet you after he crawled out from under them rocks and wiped that old bloody head off, his flesh probably said, Paul, boy, today would be a good day to go home and quit. But Paul, understanding the crucifixion to the flesh, said no to you. It's not about me. It's all about him.
Amen.
Walked with the boldness of God right back into the city they drug him out of. The reason Paul was such a success in the ministry, because he had no concern for himself. When he passed Calvary, he forfeited all his rights to be anything or to have anything.
That's right. Amen.
And you're going to be some happy Christian when you find out this whole thing ain't about you. It's all about him. To lay our lives on the altar and die to self so that he can live through us. Now, right quickly, before lunch, I don't want to have the Lord's Supper before we go. We done had a foot washing. In this little sanctuary, number one, I find a refreshing from the Savior. The flesh has failed. I crawl away in humility, confess my sin to God for trying to think I could do it. And I begin to try to meet with God in this little sanctuary. Now, it's no wonder we're failing so much as Christians Because the devil has cut us off from our source, our resource, and our source of power. He's got us too busy. We don't have time to do that. We don't have time to sit and wait on God. We got to get it all done. The old timers that left their mark on their generation were men who spent much time alone with God. Wesley said, I have 3 hours in the morning. I can't get anything done unless I spend the first 3 hours in prayer. Luther was about the same way, 3 or 4 hours in the morning for prayer. They get up way before daylight and pray and wait on the Lord. The schedule has pushed us, and society has pushed us and governed to us what we're going to do. We have become slaves to society. And society, being instigated by Satan, will not allow us time to be with God. And so, because of that, he's cut us off from our source of supply. Now, notice there's been some little sanctuaries I have had to crawl away in. If you think people are going to be standing around waiting to encourage you, you can forget it. Yeah. Amen? If you depend on somebody else to make you happy, you can forget it. Yeah. Oh, my men will gather around me. I hope they do, and when they do, I hope they don't try to crucify you. In that little sanctuary, I have found a refreshing from the Savior. Now, why would I get so worn out? Because I'm worn from the battle.
Yes, yes.
It is a battle to stay right with God. Somebody said, Brother Doyle, what do a man have to do to backslide? I said, nothing. Just do nothing, and your flesh will be so influenced by the world and the devil, you'll just start drifting that way. You don't have to do anything. Just let it drift, and you'll be in sin, and you'll be backslid on God. But I'm here to tell you, in the battles of life, and then as preachers, if you've ever preached with an anointing of God, it's a struggle constantly to keep that anointing on your ministry. Because people are expecting to hear you just like you were the last time. They don't know the thousands of dollars you've had to pray about, the people that's cussed you. They don't know about the disappointments you've gone through. Just get up there and be what you was the last time. Glory. Weary from the battle. The greatest battle, preachers, that we have and church members is the battle between the flesh and the spirit. He said, if I'll walk in the spirit, go ahead and get this done. If I'll walk in the spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the devil cuts us off from our sources of life, so we won't have anything but the flesh. And in the flesh, the devil comes with depression and defeat and all sorts of wicked thoughts, and we're ready to quit, and he's stirring our emotions. See, he puts the thought in our minds, and we leave it in there, and we're stupid enough to believe him. Amen, Brother Doyle, you're doing good. And so we're stupid enough to believe it. And if he can get you thinking it far long enough, what he'll do, it'll work its way into your emotions. And then you'll really get bad off. And when it works its way into your emotions, you're just about a goner. That's why he said to battle it in the mind first. Here's how slick he is. He'll put the thought in there and blame you for thinking it. Slick. Somebody said, and you've heard me say this before, but I'm over 60. I have permission to repeat myself. That you could chase the devil into a briar patch. He'd get out on the other side, change clothes, come back around, and help you hunt for him. Somebody answer that, please. I've been praying for a message all morning. If it's God, put it on speaker, amen. Thank you, Lord, you finally showed up. Woo! Starts in your mind, gets to your emotions. That every time you think about that thing you've been thinking about, your emotions are stirred. I think I'll just quit. I ain't going back on the road again. I'm too sick. I can't keep going like this. There's not enough gas stations between where I start and where I stop. Some of y'all get that later. You get the worst fuel mileage when you got bladder problems. Stopping and starting and stopping and starting. I think I'll just quit. It gets down into your emotions. And then when it gets there, if you leave it there long enough, you will surrender your will to it. And you will be doing what you've been thinking. He does the same thing with lust. I know there's not a man in here that has a problem with lust. It's all you women. Oh, y'all gonna catch on to that later. But he puts the thought in your mind. And you say, whoa. Yeah. And then you keep rolling over and over. And finally it works its way to your emotions. And by that time, you are totally in love. Amen? Well, we just fell in love. That's because you're starting to do what you've been thinking. And so the battle, we're worn from the battle. The devil just wears us down and wears us up. And with no source of income, no source of resourcefulness from God. Listen, one old man said, I remember years ago, he said, in the morning, I placed my elbows on the windowsills of heaven and I gazed into the face of the Savior. And with this vision, I go out to meet the day. We ain't getting our help. We're trying to do it in the flesh. We're trying to do this and that. Hey, it's wonderful to have camp meetings, but it's only a pep rally. God is driving you to an individual sanctuary along with Him where you can be refreshed in His presence when there ain't nobody else around. And all He's got to do is show up and the job is done. Evangelist friend of mine said, his wife had died. His daughter was about 20 years old. She got hooked up with a guy on the internet and across the ocean, and they fell in love on the internet. I don't know how you do that, but anyway. I've never tried that. But anyway, he proposed to her. She packs up everything. Good Christian girl, has been raised in school, Christian school and everything. Flies across to Australia. And this boy said, Brother Doyle, my heart was broken in a million pieces. And he said, human trafficking today, sex slave trade, you don't ever know. And he said, I went out underneath the stars and he said, God, I got these revivals I got to preach. And I can't preach it in this emotional state. And he said, Brother, all God said was, I got this. He said, Brother Brian, you understand nothing else? I got this. He said, the sweet peace of God filled my heart, soul.
Amen.
I went on preaching. And he was a Christian, was a fine man. They're in church now, serving the Lord over there. Hey, God said, I got this.
Amen.
And even if he hadn't have been, God still had it.
That's right.
That's all he got to say. Just let him show up one time. I got this. Don't worry. I got this. Because we're worn from the battle. Now, I'm going to hurry up and close because I'm not like some preachers. When we're weary from the blunders,
come on.
I hate to burst your bubble, preacher, but you will make some mistakes. And we try to be perfect because everybody looking at us. But I'm here to tell you, you will make some blunders. In your best efforts and honesty, you're going to make some blunders.
Amen. Amen.
I wore out one day, and there was a calling me about this and calling me about that. That's why if the Lord ever called me a pastor, I'm going to rebel. And he probably will since I said that. And I was wore out, and this woman calls and says to me, listen, preacher, I'm over here with my mom and dad. We got termites coming out the walls. We got termites coming out the floor. We don't know what to do. We've sprayed everything we could on them. And I said, well, get a hammer. That didn't go over too big. I don't know why she took it that way. I said, just get you a hammer and knock them in the head when they come out of the hole. That was not what she wanted to hear. I guarantee you. But I tell you, you're going to make some blunders. You're going to say things you shouldn't. You're going to make decisions you shouldn't. Because we happen to be in a frail frame of flesh. But you're going to be wary from the blunders. But in that little sanctuary, you can find revival of your own spirit. Along with God. Then hurry up this and let me close. I always close right before I get through. It's easy not only to get worn in the battle, weary from the blunders, but you can become very easily wayward from the beloved.
Yes.
Drift. Just drift.
Yes.
So busy. No time to get in that little sanctuary. No time to renew your spirit. No time, because you're busy taking care of everybody else. And you can become wayward from the beloved. He really wants you to meet him in that little sanctuary. Just you and him. I wish we would quit being so codependent. At 10 minutes to 12, I'm fixing to close because I want to get out of here. Worse than y'all do. Y'all have endured very well. I hope you're saved now that you've endured to the end. Wayward from the blow, I find a refreshing from the Savior. Then I find a refuge from the storm. And right quickly, I'm closing. The refuge from the storm. You're going to constantly be going through storms. But don't you notice there's three sides to the storm? There's the occupant side, that's ours. It don't look too good from our standpoint. There's the omnipotent side, that's his.
Amen.
And while we're going through it, the occupant's in the storm, and the omnipotent is looking from above. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly how much you can take. He knows exactly where to stop the storm. He knows exactly how to deliver you and strengthen you inwardly in your inner part, because he knows he's watching you in the storm. And then thank God, the occupants, the omnipotence side, and thank God, there is the other side.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
So far, Brother Brian, has always been an other side.
Yeah, come on.
Sometimes the devil said, there ain't no way you're going to make it, but I've always got to the other side.
Amen.
Sometimes I had no goodness of my own. It was just God's sovereign hand leading me and guiding me and protecting me. And I got out of the storm one day. God settled the storm. And I said, I praise you, Father. I just praise you, God. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go. But in that little sanctuary, I found a time with him. And he could speak to my heart and get me on through to the other side of that storm. George Mueller was known as a great man of faith. And he said, they asked him one day, how do you have great faith? He said, the way to have great faith is to endure great trials.
Yes.
Everybody wants faith, but they sure don't want them trials.
Right. Yes.
So don't waste your storms.
Yeah.
Don't waste your lessons. Yeah. Instead of getting all up in the flesh, running from it, begging God to deliver you from it if he chooses not to. Quit asking why. and start asking what?
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Why is produced from a fleshly pride? Well, who does God think He is? Giving me all, put all this on me.
Yes.
But what comes from the spiritual man?
Come on, tell us.
That says, Lord, though our outward man perish, yet our inner man is renewed day by day. We're beginning to see from the omnipotent side. And you'll suffer through the storm. You'll get through the storm a whole lot better when you see it from His side. Paul said in prison, Philippians, I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Amen, Lord.
God is more powerful than communist walls, prison walls, deserts, jungles. God is there and He can make you a little sanctuary wherever you are. Well, I know I've been in places I didn't want to be. So, oh God, if I could just get over there. Some of you preachers think if you could just pastor that other church. I want to remind you that the grass that's greener on the other side was brown to the fellow that just left it. Quit trying to change your circumstances to fit your agenda. Surrender to God's agenda and let your circumstances change you.
Oh,
as I.J. Packard said, Christianity today is about, 100 miles wide and 1 inch deep. We Americans do not know what it means to suffer. You and I do not know what it means to do without. Well, we can't handle that. We fall apart.
Yeah.
I mean, you let the attendance drop, two members, and we just think the world's come to an end.
Right.
Let the offering get down. I'll tell you one thing, your joy ain't going to last very long if you live out of the offering plate. You better look above that plate.
Amen.
To God, yeah, who can handle it all.
Amen.
And I'm through. Father, we love You. We thank You for the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And Father, I pray this day that somebody will get their appetite wet,
yes,
for a closer walk with You. And dear God, that somehow, right in this camp meeting, they'll find a little sanctuary. Lord, at home, on the back porch at night, or in the woods at night, or in the day, they'll steal away from the busyness of life and tap into their only source of strength and power. Lord, don't let the devil rob this generation of knowing You in an intimate way. Don't let the devil get them so busy they forget You, God, and they try in the energy of the flesh to please You. Lord, You're at enmity with the flesh. You've put it down. You've crucified it. You've buried it. Nothing good it could ever produce would be accepted by You. So, Father, help us to walk in the Spirit that we may not fulfill the lust of this flesh. And be unto us today a little sanctuary. Lord, if we could just get a glimpse of Your presence, if we could just feel Your touch today, we would be refreshed. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.